happy times. I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. Through it all, through it all, oh, I have learned to trust in Jesus. Oh, and I've learned to trust in
Amen.
Storms.
Seems like the past 2 weeks, my mind has just been on trusting Jesus, and seem like I just every song I think of, every testimony I remember being given, just everything is just on trusting on the Lord, and I just can't seem to get that out of my mind. And I think about past things that I've come through that the Lord has been there for sure, and then of course I think. Maybe this is my negativity. Some I think, okay, am I fixing to go through something? Is that why I keep thinking of trusting? Maybe the Lord's getting me ready. I don't know. But at any rate, I know from past experiences, of course, that whatever it is that may come my way, the Lord is right there and will be right there with me. And I thought I could feel the Lord so much on the end of both of those choruses, that one, for if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that he could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. And, oh, goodness, he's done so much. I'm sure, I know, for each and every one of us, you can't keep serving the Lord if he's not there to help you along the way and to help you through things. So I don't have, like, some big thing in my mind. I'm just so thankful to know that the Lord is always there and that I can depend on him. And I thought of a chorus too that I never have done it before. Brother Michael has done it here before. He can be depended on. He can be trusted. Da, 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 da. I can't remember what comes after that, but he can be depended on. He can be trusted. He is my Savior, and I'm so, so thankful. And I thought one of the things Brother Durham mentioned this morning in Bible study was about having faith as a grain of mustard seed. And he explained that. I don't think I ever really knew even what that really meant. But you talked about that. And so I appreciated that. That gave me a nugget there. And so, but I know that that's the word faith. I know that's not really what it means, you know, that it, we'll just be able to look out here and cast a mountain in the sea. But I'm glad to know that if we just take a step forward, that the Lord will meet us there. You know, if we reach up, he'll reach down for us. So I'm just encouraged here today. I don't know, I just feel the Lord, feel good, and glad to know that his spirit dwells within my soul. And thank Brother Smith's been talking some lately about having the Holy Ghost and about, you know, that it's just not a feel-good thing. You know, there's so much more that the Holy Ghost is there for, and that it's a gift. And sometimes I just take it for granted and just go along my way, you know, but he didn't have to give it to me. It is a gift, you know, and I'm so thankful, though, that he, in his mercy and in his great love, imparted that gift into me, and that I have it with me all the time, no matter where I am, what circumstances I'm going through, as the song said, or situations, his spirit's always right there. And it's just that far away. And then, I mean, you can just call on Jesus and you can feel that comeback coming right there. And I love that. So I'm so thankful that he imparted that great gift to me, as to put it on an individual level, but to us. But I love the Lord and I appreciate him. I love this church. And I told my husband the other night, I said, there's a lot of good things, you know, about the Little Rock Church. I said, but one of the things I can say that you guys have been a stellar example in is that you just open your arms and you just take people in and you just love them and you just make them a part and let us feel a part. And so I so thank you for that, so commend you for having such an open heart and such open arms. And I thought whenever that sister had come and visited a couple weeks ago, I was thinking about moving here from Brother Jones's church, and I told Jeff when we got home, I said, well, if she comes, she will feel so much love here, and she'll feel such an openness, and people will just bring her right in, because that's what you guys have done to us. So don't think it doesn't go unnoticed or that it's not appreciated. So I love you, and I thank you for being such a good church and for being good to my family and I. And but I thank the Lord for being, you know, for being there all the time. But anyway, I appreciate it.
I'd like to stand and say how much I appreciate the Holy Spirit that I feel here this morning, how much I appreciate my family that I have inherited here in Little Rock. And I just want you to know I love y'all, and I can relate to Sister Pryor because I have felt the same thing. I felt it when we moved down here to Little Rock. I felt it about 25 years ago when I met Brother Smith up in Republic, Missouri. And it's the love that you all show that that holds us together and gives us encouragement and hope for what God has for us. And I'm just so thankful for the vision. Brother Smith was talking about the vision, you know, that we have here, and how important it is to put legs to our vision and to put an effort forth to do the will of God. And I feel like God has been helping Sherry and I, our family, here recently. And of course, we were going through a really hard time when we moved down here to Little Rock financially. And it's really amazing what God has done for us. And we've gone from having, you know, way deep in debt. I was talking to the Sunday school this morning how important it is that we let God direct ourselves financially, and through every decision we make in our life will affect us not only naturally but spiritually, and throughout the rest of our lives. And I'm so thankful for a ministry. I'm so thankful for Brother Smith and for all the ministry in the body of Christ that has given us wisdom to help us and to give us direction. And I was telling our young people how important it is to lean on that, to use it. That's a tool that we have that God has given us. And we need to use it and let it be effective in our lives. And, you know, not only know the vision, but do the vision. You know, obey the vision that God has set before us. And it's so wonderful. I was reading a scripture here when Sister Pryor was singing. Jesus was saying in Matthew 11, let's see here. He was talking to his disciples and was praying to the Father in Matthew 11:25. It says, at the same time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. He was talking about the vision that he was giving and administering to his disciples. Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. And no man knoweth, and neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to he whomsoever the Son revealed him. That revelation right there. That's why I'm here tonight. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. He's trying to tell us what kind of spirit to have, that we can receive these things. And so it's so important that we have that. You know, we talked about the soil, the good soil that we have to have. It's so important that our minds are clean and open and pliable and able to be used of God. And he said, I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we know if we latch hold of this vision, there is a yoke. We have to yoke ourselves to him, but he'll make it a way for us. And I'm so thankful that when we feel the pressures, like that song was saying, that we go through in life, that we can throw them down at the Lord and say, Lord, I need direction from you. I need help from you. I'm thankful for a ministry that we can go to for advice and counsel. And I'm so thankful that for the Holy Ghost, for Jesus. And, you know, He reveals himself to the world through us. We are the body of Christ in the earth today. And if we work in order, in his order, and walk in obedience, and be willing to yoke ourselves to him, to obey him. I know I'm speaking to myself. I'm feeling conviction as I'm saying this. I know he's able. And he'll lead us, and he'll direct us, and give us good direction. And I'm so thankful. I was telling our young people that throughout history, when men have learned to lean on the counsel of God, I was telling them about Nebuchadnezzar. He was the greatest. He was the head of the beast. He was the head of the Daniel's image. He was the purest. He was gold. And, you know, why was he? It's because that he leaned on the counsel of God's men, the children of God, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and Daniel. He used them as counselors. And so he became great among the nations and among the world because of his wisdom. And he was an ungodly man, but he used. You know, you can say the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom, gives us, I think, geniusness comes from the Holy Spirit. If we will learn to lean on him, lean on God, he will give us wisdom. You know, men of the world have learned to, I was telling them, I said, you may say, well, there's a lot of smart people out there. Look at, Look at the people that are out in the world today. You know, we talk, see Steve Jobs, and who are all these real, you know, the Bill Gates, all the real wealthy men in the world today. You know, you can say, well, they're intelligent and God, you know, where they got their wisdom. Well, I believe they've got it from God. They've leaned on, they've somehow been able to find and use, you know, there's, the Bible says stolen waters are sweet. I believe that men have learned to find where wisdom is, and wisdom comes from God. There's just the, it's the bottom line, you know. During the Renaissance, the wisdom that was all, the technology of the world back then grew in great leaps and bounds, but it was because that God was beginning to work in the earth. You know, Martin Luther, just shortly after Martin Luther, Leonardo da Vinci, you know, was a very ingenious man. That doesn't mean Leonardo da Vinci was. I don't know him. I don't know where his stand was with God, but I can be confident. I can confidently tell you that it was because of God that God allowed that wisdom to be brought down and used, you know, in the world today. And so it's the direction. What I'm saying is, it's the Holy Spirit that leads us and gives us wisdom and guidance. We can trust in God. We can know that He will direct us and give us wisdom if we will lean on Him and lean on the Holy Ghost. And I believe that He will lead us today and direct us if we just learn how to follow and put leg. Brother Smith's been talking. Last Sunday in men's Bible study, he was talking about how to put legs to our faith and to have with our vision, how do you say that? To have somebody help me. With our vision, he said that we had to have a task. We had to put a task to our vision. And then without a vision, our task becomes just a job. So the Holy Ghost will lead us and direct us if we'll allow Him to. And I'm so thankful for it. I know that I can lay my burdens down at the foot of the saying goes, at the foot of the cross with Jesus. I can go to God in prayer. And I can lean on the Holy Spirit when we feel Him. I'm just so thankful. I feel Him this morning. And I just want you to know I'm thankful. And I know that there is hope for us, that we have a great future if we learn how, if I learn, you know, I have a great future. If I learn how to follow Him and lead and follow His leading, it's good to be here.
Good morning. I want to say how glad I am to be here. If somebody hadn't called me this morning, I might have missed it. I fell back asleep, half dressed, but I did make it, and thank God I am here. I'd like to read something. The earth is the Lord, and the fullness therefore. The world and they that dwell in it. That means if I walk outside out there, it's the earth. And here, it's the earth and the Lord's. Everywhere I go, in my house, it's the Lord's. If I walked in your house, it's the Lord's. Everything is the Lord's. And I think if we start realizing that everything that Jesus told everybody that His Father owned everything. And we should respect that Jesus is the Lord just as much as His Father is the Lord. And they're just as much as one of the same. But He came as Christ to change everything because it was not right. few more things here to say. All paths of the Lord are mercy and truth upon such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. So, if you're going to trust in Jesus, and if you're going to trust in the Lord, and if you want the Holy Spirit inside you, then daggone it, you got to have his commandments. You have to believe in him. You have to have that trust. You have to have faith. I mean, faith is what gives you everything. I mean, when you walk out that door, I mean, we love everybody here, but when you walk out that door, you can't leave your faith in here. You got to take your faith outside with you. I mean, the Lord's out there too. That's what he made out there. I mean, it took him 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. But he gave us faith, and we're supposed to use it. And we're not perfect, but daggone it, we can have faith. And everybody here has it, so let's use it. Now, one more thing here, or two more things. It says, sing upon God, sing praises to him, exalt him that rideth upon the heavens by the name Jehad, and rejoice before him. Of course, that's an old name I just found out by coming to this beautiful church. And that's a new name, and it's in Psalm 68. And it seems like our beautiful band and our singing is just great. It brings out the spirit in here, and it moves me. I know it moves a lot of other people here. Now I'm going to read out of Psalms again. This is from Beth. The word have I hidden in my heart, and I not sinned against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me my statutes. With my lips have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in thy way of my testimonies, as much as in thy riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respected upon thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy words. The Lord is my God. Jesus is my God and my Lord. And thank heavens I'm in this. I walk through this door as much as I can. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for all of you all. And God bless you all. And may God have mercy on everybody here.
Tried him, do you know what the Lord can do? He can tunnel through a mountain when you think there's no way through. Just try him, and I am sure he'll make a way for you. Have you tried him, do you know what the Lord can do? Have you tried him, do you know what the Lord can do? He can tunnel through.
I feel good today. You can feel the Lord here, can't you? I appreciate that. Appreciate that God's come. He comes in and he fellowships with his people. And I'm glad we don't serve a God today that you can't feel. I couldn't do that. But I'm glad we can not only feel him in our heart, but we can see him working in our lives and other people's lives. And I really appreciate all the testimonies so far, and Brother Henry and Brother Mark Boyd and Sister Pryor. Sister Pryor seems like God may have been dealing with all of us a little bit on faith and trusting him a little bit more. And I still say the difference between faith and trust is faith will point you in the right direction, and trust is the vehicle that'll get you there. As you can't serve God without faith, and you sure can't serve him without trust. And they're not the same thing. You know, when God looked down and he saw young man, Abram, and his wife, Sarai, he looked down and he saw that there was a young couple that he could use. God saw he was going to have to put his righteousness down in a people. He was going to have to reveal himself to a generation, to a people that would serve him. No doubt he looked around and he picked the best that he could find, Abram and Sarah. And you know what God's doing today? God's looking around this world, Brother Henry, and he's finding the best that he can for the body of Christ. You know, we've got a work ahead of us. You know, that work that God gave that church down there, when Jesus told those men down there, pray for the Lord of the harvest that he might send laborers into the field. You know, God picked the best that he had over there. He picked those 12 men. Were there men who were richer than they were? Yeah. More renowned. But that one scripture, God, he rejected, you know, the wise and the prudent. But he touched those that had a heart like a babe. And that was that they could humble themselves under the touch of God. And God's still looking for people like that today. The Bible said, God resists the proud. That's why Brother Leniger, years ago, I remember when he started bringing it to the body, and I was one of those that I kind of fought it a little bit at first. He said, you can't be proud for nothing. I thought, well, surely there's a little bit that you could be proud for, maybe your grandchildren. Of course, back then, I didn't have grandchildren, but Sister Tally, it's hard not to be proud over your grandchildren, but I'm working on it. I'm saying now I'm thankful that I have good grandchildren. And I'm trying to get that word out of my vocabulary. I don't even want to name it. God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. I'm trying to be humble. I'm trying not to resist the Lord. You know, that's a hard thing to do. There are times when God will show us the right way to go, and we know it's right. We know that God's spoken to us, and we know that God's going to help us. And that's where trust comes in. When God dealt with Abram to get up and get out of the land of the Chaldees and go into a land that he was going to give to him to go out into the desert. Abram, he left a big populous city. Him and his family had to uproot all that. We really don't know the history of Abram before God dealt with him. Thank God that he was able to respond to God in a proper manner. So he got up and he went out into the desert. You know, God only revealed himself to Abram three times. All the years that Abram lived, God only revealed himself three times. Don't you know there were times that he had to lay in bed and thinking, did God really come down and tell me to get out of Ur of the Chaldees? Was that really him? Have you ever laid in bed and thought this? Did God really tell me to do this? Did God really add me to this body? You know, when my wife died, when we first came around, we felt that for a while. We saw that y'all had a lot of things that we didn't, and we wanted them, but there was just such a wide gulf between what you had and where we were, and we thought, well, we could, you know, we could never work hard enough, never be around long enough to get all the grace and the mercy that God has put in this body. And we used to get discouraged. We'd look at y'all and we'd look at our lives and we'd go, oh. I know I wasn't the only one who ever did that. You probably did that too when you first came in. When God started opening up your eyes, I remember Sister Yvonne York way back there almost 29 years ago. I remember her getting up and saying, I wish you'd pray that God would kill the old man, you know. And I remember some of those testimonies and had no idea what they were doing. But then I went on the exact opposite. I started getting a little bit of this message about perfection and how that you had to get everything out of your life and how you had to put Christ first in your life and how that would establish you and cause God to draw you up to a higher place in him so that you might reach perfection, that where he was, you could be there also. Well, I started looking in my life. I had just a little bit of knowledge. I gave that scripture this morning. Jesus told the Pharisees that it was full of knowledge of the Word of God. And they came to him and they tried to trick him. And he said, you do err not knowing the scriptures. And I always used to think that was an odd thing for Jesus to say to those people because they did know. They could quote the Bible backwards and forwards. They could tell you what everything in there means. They could cross every T and dot every I. But what Jesus was trying to tell them, you can know what the natural Word of God says. But until you allow God to quicken it to your heart, and that takes the Holy Ghost. You know, when the Holy Ghost comes into your heart and takes the good Word of God that he has deposited down there, when he quickens that, it becomes light. Like the Bible says, thy word, Brother Henry, here's a good one for you. In fact, that scripture, that's one of my favorite scriptures that you gave. Thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. A good one that goes along with that is, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, just the natural Word of God will produce some fruits in your life. Just by doing the natural things, like the Jews did back there. When they did those things, the Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law. The Jews, they had to get to a place where they learned to love the law of God. And when they learned the law of God, it no longer became a chore for them to do those things. But they learned to love it. And when they learned to love it, it became a part of their character, a part of their nature. And great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And it produced fruit down in their life. You can see that in the Jews. It caused them, the Word of God will do several things. The first thing it'll do, the Word of God ought to separate you from this world. It's one reason God gave it, not only to give light to you when the Holy Ghost quickens it, to cause you to see where you're going, but he also wants you to see where you came from. He doesn't want you to join to that old system anymore. So the Word of God will cause a separation. Sister Rhonda gave me that scripture this morning. She said, what about this scripture here? And the apostles, when they were following Jesus, they had went through some hard things. And finally they said, hey, wait a minute. Before we go any further here, let's talk about some rewards. Because they were still, at that time, they were still looking for Jesus to set up a natural kingdom. And the mother of James and John, they were brothers, she came up to Jesus and she said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, grant it that my two sons would set one on the left and one on the right. And she was expecting, like all the other Jews, for Jesus to set up a natural kingdom. And she wanted her sons to have a part play a pivotal part in that natural kingdom. And Jesus said, you don't know what you ask. He said, that's not mine to give. And he said, and besides, can they drink the cup that I'm drinking of? And Jesus went on to say that they will drink of that cup. But they finally said, Lord, you know, we've been following you around. They said, we've left all. You know, we've left our business, you know, some of them, Peter and James and John, they had their own fishing business. They left that. And one of them was a tax collector, a very profitable business. And some of them had left their families. And they said, Lord, what is our reward? They said, we're following you through all this. What are we going to get out of it? All they saw was toil and not having a place to stay at night and worrying about paying your taxes. Peter, you know, one time he came up to Jesus and he said, Lord, he said, we got big problems. Have you ever been in trouble with the IRS? Well, Brother John, they had the IRS back there too. Only they wouldn't just attach your wages. There's things they can do today. If the IRS back then came looking for you, it was to cut your head off. If you didn't pay your taxes, you was going to be thrown in jail. And the rats were going to get you. It wouldn't be pleasant. So Peter came up to Jesus. He said, Lord, he said, what are we going to do? He said, I got to pay my taxes. And I left my business owing taxes back there. And you came to me and you said, you know, leave all that behind and come and follow me. Now here, they're running after me. Want to throw me in jail? Throw me into debtor's prison. What are we going to do? And Jesus said, go down and go fishing. He said, the first fish you catch, just open up the mouth and you'll find a coin in there and pay your taxes. He said, oh, by the way, pay mine too while you're at it. They were going through those things. They were having natural problems. That's one thing that's always amazed me. When people get saved and get the Holy Ghost, they expect every problem just to be shed of their life. Never going to have another sickness. Wouldn't that be nice? Just come in and come down front and repent and get the Holy Ghost. Never be sick again. Never have a money. Have all the money you want. What do you want to buy? You just buy it. Go ahead. Never have a family problem. Never have a crossword with your husband or with your wife or with your boss. Just have the best of jobs. Drive the best of cars. Live in a big old house on the hill. Never have another problem. Some people think it's like that. But oh, you can look back at what the apostles went through. And that one time, like I said, James and John, do you know James and John had to turn red in the face when their mother came up and said that. And she said that in front of all the other 12. All the 12 were around there and she said, Jesus, my sons, James and John, they've given up a lot for you. And so when you come into your kingdom, don't you know James and John had to be turning red in the face when their mama came up and did that? Do you ever have somebody embarrass you in church or do something against you? And they had to think, oh, mama, I just wish you'd be quiet. Of course, Jesus set her straight. And Peter, oh, Peter, I feel so bad for Peter sometimes. There's people I've met that have this spirit just like Peter. And Jesus told him, he said, this was getting close to the time where he was going to get crucified. And Peter kind of took it upon himself, and Jesus said, I'm going to go down to Jerusalem. There I'm going to be delivered up to wicked men, and I'm going to be killed. And Peter said, not so, Lord. He just took it upon himself to rebuke Jesus. And, you know, one time, Brother Smith, I appreciate what Brother Brett Weiniger said the other day. I've always had a fear and a great respect for God's ministry, but you know, when you get around them, and if you're not careful, you'll allow them to become common with you, and you'll lose that fear, and you'll lose that respect and that honor. I remember the first time I ever met Brother Leniger. Here, I could tell here was a man that could handle the Word of God, and he walked right up to the front. He shook my hand, and I was just standing there. His first meet, I think it was the second or third meeting I've ever went to in Houston. And he had just got up, and he'd been talking for hours. You know how Brother Leniger would do? There's five of this, and there's four of this, and seven of these, and five. And he was just laying out the Word of God. And it just dumbfounded me. I thought, my good, I've never heard a man speak like that. And I stand down front and just waiting for something, I guess waiting for my wife or something. We were going to go eat. He came up and he shook my hand. I'll never forget it. He didn't know my name. He said, "Hello, young man," because I was a young man. I was 29 years old. He said, "Hello, young man." He stuck his hand out like that. And I don't know if I even shook his hand. I sat there going, I couldn't even talk because I thought, this man who's full of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, he just came up to me and said, "Hello, young man." And he just looked at me. He stood there for a minute. He looked at me and just kind of walked away. Thank goodness I asked him about that later and he didn't remember it. I thought, good, I'm glad he didn't remember that because I made a fool of myself. But I had such a great fear and a great respect for the men and women of God, especially his ministry. And I remember we were always remodeling there in the church in Republic, and we bought it. And we at first we remodeled the sanctuary, and then we actually built a little parsonage inside the church there for Brother and Sister Smith, and then we tore that down, and we made the sanctuary bigger. And I remember one time there were some things going on inside my life. There was, you know, when you come around here, you don't see much. You don't have much. You may have a little bit of knowledge, but the Holy Ghost has not been able to quicken much of it. And when the Holy Ghost quickens that knowledge and turns it into understanding, that's when light starts to develop in your life and you can see things in a clearer way. The problem is we normally see other people before we see ourselves. I wish we could look down inside of us and see ourselves before we could see other people, but I was seeing other people before I saw myself. And I started to see, when I first came in, I saw that everything was good and everything was right and holy and just and pure and all these things, and y'all were going to make it, and I wasn't. And then God started giving me a little bit of understanding. I started learning about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, and I started seeing that down in y'all's life. I didn't see it down inside mine, but I'd look out at you and I'd go, "Oh, I know what's down inside of her. Oh, I can see the spirit that that person's in." Well, that's just a state of growth. We have to get so that we can discern spirits, other people's spirits, and our own. That's just a part of growth. But you know what's so nice is that in this body, we teach that we got to stay together. We got to mingle our wine. Even though we see one another's faults, we've got to learn to love one another. That was what Brother Souders, that was one of the revelations Brother Souders, God gave Brother Souders, is charity and the pure love of God. But I started seeing y'all's problems, and then I started daydreaming about, I just figured I was this close. I could see that I didn't chew, I didn't smoke, I wasn't running around, I wasn't doing all these other things. I could start to see problems in your life. Y'all had envy and strife and jealousy and bitterness and all this other stuff, and I didn't see it down inside me. And I thought, well, I'm a pretty good person, and I don't think it'll take me very long to make this perfection thing, because y'all have just got too many problems. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and finish up this job of perfection, making the bride. And I'm going to get me a motorhome, a big one. And when I came in 29 years ago, the bigger motorhome you had, the bigger preacher you were. If you had just a little tiny motorhome, you weren't a very big preacher. So I was going to have me about a 80-foot long motorhome, Brother John, a big one. Maybe get one of these that kind of flex in the middle, you know, so that you can, yeah, about 80-foot long what do they call them? Articulating motorhomes or something like these articulating buses. They have them down in Branson. They're about 60 foot long and they're so big when they turn around the corner they'll kind of bend in the center. I was going to get me one of those. Now, I wasn't going to have a linoleum floor. It's going to be marble. It's going to be big, cause I was going to go around to all these churches and tell you what your problems were and tell you why you weren't making perfection. I know how to do it if you just listen to me. Well, that never happened, because God started shedding the light down on me. And all the problems I started seeing down inside of y'all started being manifest to me, and I started thinking, where'd this come from? I didn't have this problem until I came around here. Well, I did. It's just that God was never able to show me my spirit because I wasn't around any light. It takes light to walk in the ways of God. But when you have that light, the Bible says every man is right in his own eyes. You know, I was right in my own eyes until I came this way. But God sends his brother to search out, how's that go, to search out his spirit. Go something like that. So I started seeing all these things manifest, and I went from getting a big motor home to I wanted to crawl underneath the house. I didn't want anybody to see me. I was just so ashamed of what I was seeing down there because I knew that people can see that. I almost didn't want to go to church anymore. In fact, I thought that was a really difficult time in my life, because when you start to see manifest of jealousies and envies and strifes and bitterness, when God starts to show that to you, it's hard. You know, when I first came around, and when most people come around, God just starts working on some of the low hanging fruit. You know what I'm talking about? Some of that low hanging fruit. And we live in a society today where when new people come in here, you know, we got to be examples to them and stuff, but sooner or later, they're going to have to, you know, get some of that low-hanging fruit. Get some of those things that are tying to the world so hard. Quit your running around. Quit your smoking. Quit your drinking. You know, try and have your vocabulary cleaned up. Watch who you're hanging around. Those are low-hanging fruits that shouldn't be real hard to pluck out of our life if we really have a good relationship with God. When you get to the place where you really love God, there'll be nothing that he can't ask. It'll be too hard or too difficult for you to do in your life. I remember when I got saved, I was already running around doing bad things. I got saved on a Sunday, and come Monday, I told my friend, I said, I can't run around and do those things we've been doing anymore. Why not? I got saved. I'm going to church now, and I can't do those things. And after a while, my friends dropped me. But we need to help people just to get the outside of their life cleaned up so that they can, you know, so that at least we can knock the dirtiness of the world off of them. But when when you first come in, he just starts working the lust of the flesh, to learn how to bring our flesh under control. We live in a society today where flesh has become rampant. Whatever you want to see, just go out and do. Well, the Lord teaches we ought to bring our body under. And I know how it is. It's just simple things. It's things that will keep us out of church. I remember Brother Al, when he first came in, of course, the Lord's really changed him and the Lord's really helped him. But come deer season, he was gone. That's it. Goodbye. He's out of here. Now you'll see him here. Now he's going to sneak off during the week, but he's going to be here during church, aren't you, Brother Al? And I don't think there's anything wrong with good recreational fun. I think you can grow to a place where it's okay to miss church once in a while for a recreational purpose. But some people do it just for everything. I remember when we first came into the body, you know, there'd be something we'd want to do, and we'd find a reason to miss church to go do that. I'm talking about the times that you miss ought to be the exception and not the norm. And I don't think you should ever put anything above God. You know, I don't see anything wrong with hunting. I don't see anything wrong with fishing, some of these other activities. But when it gets to the place where it's more important to you than it is to God, that's where you're in a dangerous place. That's where the lust of the flesh is getting you hung up. And I remember one time we were fasting for somebody, and I thought, well, I got up in the morning, and I thought I was going to fast. And by 10 o'clock, my flesh had got me, Sister Rochella. Yeah, I don't eat much in the morning, eat a little bowl of cereal, or maybe I'll eat a banana or something. And then I may not eat again until 12, 1 o'clock. And I get real busy. I may skip lunch altogether, and I feel fine. Do hard physical work. But that morning, I said, I'm going to fast. And so 9 o'clock, I started getting shaky, breaking out in a cold sweat. I thought, I must have, what do they call it, hypoglycemia or something. I thought, I'm really getting sick here. And by 10 o'clock, I had a bad headache. And I couldn't work anymore, and I was weak-kneed, and I'm kind of walking around like this, couldn't think. Brother John, I went out, and I got me a big old Snickers bar, and I felt so much better. I thought, you old devil, you won this time, but next time you ain't going to win. just to, you know, it's just to learn to control our flesh a little bit. And our flesh, it can be strong, especially when you see the influences of the world to dress a certain way and to live a certain way. But just to be able to clean up the outside of our life, that's where God starts on us, just so that we can be presentable. But then when he starts getting down into the pride of life, and the lust of the eye. And that's what God started showing me down inside of my spirit, was those things down there, greed and jealousy. You know, you can even get to the place where your brother or your sister get up and do a good job, you know. And I know piano players are never like this. They've never had to struggle with this like a minister does, where a piano player get up and hit the channel and just bless the people, and you just burn saying, I know I could do that and I could do a better job. I know y'all don't ever do that. You're much further along in God than, you know, but did y'all ever go through something like that? I think everybody does. I don't care who you are. Somebody get up and testify and you think, well, I wish that they would sit down so that I could get up, because I can do a better job than they are. I'll just admit there were times. And this really bothered me. Brother Smith, he'd get up and he'd do such a good job. And this is when I first started coming to church. He'd get up and he'd do such a good job. And I'd watch how he'd do things. And I would practice. And he had a certain way of flipping his coat back, kind of like this. And he'd really get excited. He'd flip his coat back like that. And he'd just put his hand back there and his voice would be raised up. He'd start pounding on this with his hand back like that. Spirit of God, come in and bless everybody. So I'd practice that at home. I'd look in the mirror and I'd kind of go like that. I'd practice there. Use the same words. I'd raise my voice and everybody just sat there and look at me with their mouth open like, what's he doing? And I'd turn red in the face and I'd say, well, how come he can do it? And then I'd get offended at y'all. I'd think, well, y'all just aren't responding to me. It's because you love Brother Smith more, you know, than you do me. And I'd try and come up with all these different excuses, but I started learning that there's a process to go through, that he didn't get that way overnight. And it wasn't the flipping of his coat, or it wasn't the pounding on the pew, but it was the gift that was in his life. And God had brought him to a place that he could manifest that gift and bless the people. I was still going through a training process. I didn't know anything about training process. And then other men in the church would get up and God would use him, and I'd get jealous. And I would get greedy of that gift down in their life. And when God, and I didn't even see it at first. And when God started to show that, started lighting up that area in my life, it about killed me. I wanted to go from one ditch was that I was the best thing. Brother John, I was going to get me a big, long motorhome. I was the best thing to ever happen to the body, because I was going to go around. I was probably going to start with the Houston church. I was going to go down there and tell Brother Clyde Patton and all the people down there in Houston how to go ahead and overcome in three easy lessons. Thank God I never did. Thank God I was so... And at that time, we couldn't pay our bills. My van was broke down. I don't know where I was going to get this big million-dollar motorhome, but I knew that I needed a big one, a real big one. But our phone was cut off. We couldn't buy any groceries. The van was broke down. We couldn't get it fixed. Our electricity's getting ready to be turned off. I'm sitting there dreaming about a big old motorhome, driving around and telling everybody how to overcome. And I went from that ditch. I went to the other one where I told Brother Smith, I said, Brother Smith, I just want to get off the platform, because I started seeing those things down in my life. He said, why? And I said, I got to get off the platform. I could start to feel the heat. Whenever God is requiring more out of your life, you'll start to feel pressure. And I'd been serving God for 13 or 14 years by then, but I'd never felt that pressure to make change in my life. As I'd come from a big denominational church, and men had got up and they had preached, and if we didn't like what they were preaching, we'd just go ahead and we'd vote them out and we'd get somebody else in that'd preach a little bit softer. And we had that, you know, that message, you're meddling, preacher. And if you started meddling, I came from a big church. We had 1,000, 1,200 people, 1,400 people. We could hire and fire anybody we wanted. We could get any preacher we wanted. And if we didn't like this one over here, we'd get that one over there. But when I came here, I started hearing this message of God's ministry and God's order. And I let that start working in my life. And when it did, it put great pressure on my life. Did you ever feel that? Well, that's God putting pressure on your life to get you to conform to his image. He's not doing that because he don't like you. He's not doing that because he's chastising you. He's doing that, putting that pressure on your life because he loves you. That where he and his son are, he wants you to be there too. So he puts that pressure and that heat down on you to get you to conform to the image of his dear son. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for that. And I'd never felt that pressure before until I came to the body. So I started feeling that pressure. And I wanted to run. I wanted to get away from that pressure. I didn't think it was right to be under that pressure, but I found out that it was God. And Brother Smith told me, he said, if you'll just stay under that pressure and you don't run and you become humble, God's going to change your life. He's going to put good things in there. Well, I felt that pressure, so I'd tell him. Brother Smith, I said, I got to get off the platform. He said, no, you just need to stay right here. I said, okay. So finally, I realized he's not going to let me off the platform. So I started thinking this. I started thinking, well, I started trying to figure out, and I never could figure out something, but I told myself, I'm going to do something not bad enough to get kicked out of church, but bad enough to get kicked off the platform. Your flesh, it can do funny things. So I tried to figure out, what can I do to have Brother Smith tell me to get off the platform, not in a real bad way, but just to get off the platform, but not get kicked out of church. I never could figure it out. But it's a process we go through, isn't it? And then God, he puts that pressure on you, and then he starts to draw you. Like it says in the second chapter of Ecclesiastes, draw me, and I will run after you. Thank God that he does that. Thank God he's the one that does the drawing. And when we feel that pressure, if we will just run toward him, if we will allow God to draw us up through that pressure, through that purifying time, he will be conformed. At the end of it, we'll be conformed into his image if we just stay meek and if we stay humble. Just like Moses, the Bible says that Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth, and that just simply meant that when God dealt with him and he knew that it was God, he would not resist. I want to get my life in that condition, and when God deals with me, I don't resist. That there's no more resistance left down inside of me, that when the Lord says go, I'll go. And when the Lord says stay, I'll stay. In fact, there's a song. How's that go? Let me know when you say go. Or how's that? Yeah, to have my heart circumcised, to be sensitive to his spirit. I want to be sensitive to the spirit of God. What's that? Yeah, to be able to hear you when you speak. And that takes a place of maturity in God. We were talking this morning in Bible study about the Urim and the Thummim that was two stones on the shoulders of the high priest of the breastplate. And the king, when he needed counsel, he would go to the high priest, and God would let that high priest and the king know what his counsel was through those stones of the Urim and the Thummim. And it was a simple process. The king would say, should I do this? And if one stone glowed, that meant no. And if the other stone glowed, that meant yes. Now, you can't find that in the Bible. You can find about the Urim and the Thummim. And there's three times, I believe, where it shows where the king went to the priest to consult the Urim and the Thummim. But I always used to wonder, consult, what would he do? Would the rocks talk back? But if you go back and study Jewish history at that time, it does show that there was a glow. There would be a glow in one stone or the other. One meant yes and one meant no. But I thought, you know, it would be so simple if we had a natural set of stones that we could just go up and say, should I go to church today? And if this one glowed, you'd say no. If this one glowed, that would say yes. Should I pay my tithe? Should I do this? Should I do that? But that calls us not to trust God, you know. Of course, they had to trust God in those things. But we're having to have our heart, the flesh, cut off of our life so that we can be sensitive to God's spirit. We're living in a greater dispensation than just a Urim and a Thummim. We get direction from God now through having our heart circumcised, being able to feel the wooing and the direction of the Holy Ghost and God's ministry in our life. I thought, Lord, I'm so thankful for the operation of the Holy Ghost today that we're learning to be led by the Spirit and to be sensitive to that Spirit and to be able to walk in the Spirit. That used to bother me. How do you walk in the Spirit? You know, you walk around with your eyes closed. That just simply means that you can feel the tugging and the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And I thought, what a great dispensation we live in, that the Spirit of God is dwelling down inside of us. And that's where our Urim and our Thummim dwells down inside of us. Our heart is no longer on the breastplate of shoulders of a high priest, but our Urim and Thummim lives right down inside of us, that we can still get direction from God to know when to go or to stay when He says stay. So I appreciate the process that we're going through. We start out as a newborn babe in Christ, and then through God and through His people, and in God putting a desire down in our life, and then us responding the right way. That's the secret right there, to respond to God the right way and to allow Him to become meek, not to resist Him, and then to learn to use that Urim and Thummim down in our life. And we start to grow. We start to bear fruit. We start to manifest no longer our spirit, but we start to manifest the Spirit of Christ, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. There's a difference between the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the Holy Ghost that causes you to speak in tongues. But the Spirit of Christ is slowly formed in you as you start to grow in Him and you start to take on His character, His nature. And when you start to love righteousness and hate iniquity, the Spirit of Christ starts to be formed down inside of you, so that one day you'll be able to see, when you've seen me, you've seen Christ, because that same Spirit that dwelt in Him is now dwelling in me. And we'll finally get to the place where we can fulfill Matthew 5, 6, and 7, but you can only do that. Just because you have the Holy Ghost doesn't mean you'll be able to fulfill those things. But when you have the Spirit of Christ and you've grown to a full measure of the stature of the measure of Christ and reach a place of perfection, that's when you can fulfill Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So I'm thankful to be here this morning. I appreciate the good Holy Ghost that we felt here this morning. I'm thankful for that salvation process that God is putting every one of us through. So while I'm up here, I want to go ahead and receive the tithes and the offerings, and we'll also go before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray for Brother Smith and Brother Fisher and Brother Pryor. They're in Wichita, Kansas, being a blessing to to Brother and Sister Green and the saints there in the church. Let's pray for him. And Sister Bonnie Smith is homesick. Let's pray for her, that God would touch her. What other prayer requests do we have? Brother Henry's sister, let's pray for her. She has cancer. Let's pray that God would touch her. Brother DJ, pray for Brother DJ. Sister Sandra? Okay, Brother Jerry and Brother Scott are both sick. Sister Elsie, I saw your hand. All right, let's pray for Brother Randy. Any other prayer requests? Let's pray for Brother Michael and his family. They're down in the Dallas area. They're in church with the saints down there in Dallas. All right. Sister Inez. Yeah, Sister Wilson and Sister Wilkins, yes. That's where Sister Julie is. She's taking care of her mother. Yeah, she's home, but she's in a lot of pain from what I understand. And so Sister Julie's taking care of her. Yes, Sister Painter, yes. She's home, I know, but it takes a while to recover from that. So let's pray that God would give her a speedy recovery. It's good to have Brother Dylan here, isn't it? Yeah. We prayed for him. It's good to have you here, Brother Dylan. All right, let's have the ushers come forward. And we want to go ahead and why don't we stand and let's take these prayer requests to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy, God. God, we want to bring these prayer requests before your throne this morning, God, for Brother Smith and and Brother Pryor and Sister Fisher. Lord, would you use them there in the Wichita Assembly? Lord, bless those people, God, and help them. And watch over Brother Michael and his family, Lord, in the Dallas area. God, for Sister Wilkins, Lord, and would you touch her body? Give her a speedy recovery, Lord. Help her, Jesus. And Brother DJ, God, would you touch his body, God? Give him a speedy recovery. Sister Painter, Lord, and Brother Randy Ratliff, God, touch him, Lord. We need your help, God. We're people that need you, Lord. Hallelujah. And these unspoken prayer requests, Lord, would you have your way, Jesus? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless this offering, God. Use it, Lord. Hallelujah. All right, you can be seated. practice.
No choir today.
Too many gone. We got band practice at 4.
How about beginner band practice?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
All right. Make sure you shake somebody's hand before you get out.